From Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all of the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Logan. Let's pray together. Father, so often we hear your words. We hear them and almost know them by heart. And because we do that, sometimes we forget to listen carefully. We pray, O God, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and lives to mold. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How many times have you heard that? In fact, when you hear it, do you have any images that come to mind? If you shut your eyes and you think about green pastures and quiet waters, you know, you have this kind of, do you have an image? Do you have sort of a picture in your mind? And once a picture gets in your mind, it is so hard to change. Even when the pictures are inaccurate. When I think about green meadows, I kind of think about our lawn. Our lawn looks so good. Our lawn is cut to a uniform length. Not one blade dares get out of place. Our lawn is straight. Our lawn is cut with care by people who pay attention to such things. Sometimes they cut it this way, and sometimes they cut it this way, but then they cut it this way, and then they cut it this way. So all those little soldiers stand straight. That's what I think of about a green pasture. And I think about those little furry creatures out there. It's sweet. And what about peaceful waters? You know, you ever seen a brook or stream kind of coming? I'm not thinking about the Boardman River. That's kind of gross. But you think of a stream that kind of runs through a property. You think of it as so beautiful, so clear. It reflects the sky. It's so beautiful. That's nothing like what David experienced. That's nothing like that. And I know almost nothing about sheep. I know almost nothing about those woolly creatures. Now, I know that a lot of you grew up on a farm. By the way, how many of you grew up on a farm? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many had sheep on your farm? Hey, the only sheep, I'm from the city. Thank you, Jesus. I'm from the city. The only sheep I have ever seen is either at a petting zoo or from my car window as we drove by really fast. So I don't know anything about a sheep. I don't know like I said to the kids, you go into Tom's or even go into Myers, you can't find sheep chow. What do sheep eat? Grass. Yeah. They wake up one day, we're eating grass. What's with that? You know, they're just, I don't know. How often do you have to bathe a sheep? Never? Do sheep ever come inside your house? No, they come inside a barn, but they're out there. Yeah, I don't know much about a sheep. I can't imagine taking care of them. I can't imagine walking them. You know, we don't have a dog for a number of reasons. You know, but you know, I think about all the care. Think about having a flock of 100 sheep. How much work that is. And we kind of, we have this image of what sheep are like. And we've always, you know, yesterday Dave Nesberg was here, and he also said what I'm going to say. We have always thought that sheep were stupid. They're not stupid. They're just incredibly defenseless. They're not stupid. They just go everywhere in a flock. They do nothing independently. If one sheep, we'll call him Bob, goes off that way, all go off that way. Earl goes off that way, they all go off that way. They go wherever they go. They're very intelligent. By the way, they can recognize up to 50 other sheep. We all think they look alike, don't they? Well, they recognize the differences. They can find their way through mazes, and they learn. They retain information for 6 weeks. They can improve their times going through mazes. They understand. They recognize voices. They recognize human faces. They are totally and absolutely defenseless. And the territory that they occupy in David's time was the wilderness. They didn't occupy the places where crops could be grown. They occupied the places out there in the middle of nowhere. And it was, to be generous, hostile territory. It was hot. It was deceiving. It was arid. And it was dangerous. It was filled with predators, filled with thieves, and natural dangers. There was flash floods, sudden drop-offs, and the sheep and the shepherd weren't always old. I'm going to say Logan might have been the average age of a shepherd. Often children were given the responsibility of being shepherds. You know, we think about the shepherds waiting their flock by night when Jesus came. We kind of have this idea of these guys in their 40s and their 50s. No. These were kids. They were notoriously unreliable as witnesses in court. People didn't believe a shepherd. They were given the responsibility of taking care of animals. They were not seen as being high in the element. But sheep and shepherd are a common image in the Bible. Sheep are mentioned over 500 times. God is referred to as a shepherd in Genesis, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, John, Hebrews, and 1 Peter. And David understood being a shepherd. He was not only a shepherd of the sheep, but he was a king. He was the shepherd of the people of Israel. And so he writes this. This of the most loved of all Psalms. Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. He is my protector. He feeds me. He guides me. He is the one whom I will follow. Oh, sheep are never driven. They are always led. Sheep are never driven. They are always led. You walk in front, and rarely do they turn around to see if they're coming. They just assume that they are. And the Lord is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, I have everything. I will not be in need. I lack nothing. Now that's kind of an interesting term in our day and age. Do you have everything you want? No. Do you have everything you need? Yes. Would you say that at the end, the beginning of the 21st century, living in the United States, the gap between need and want is about as large as it has ever been? And have we transferred many of our wants into needs? We need very few things. And God has abundantly provided for us. We need water, food, shelter. I'm going to say, given our lack of abilities, we need electricity. Keep on keeping on. We need very few things. We need clothing. I'm going to guess that for a majority of us, the problem about getting dressed wasn't a lack of choice, but the abundance of choice. You know, am I going to wear this? 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 What goes with what? How is it going to go? Well, it was an abundance of choice. It wasn't a lack of choice. It was the abundance of choice. But David understood what it was to be a shepherd. He understood. And he said, the Lord, Yahweh is my shepherd. The name for God, Yahweh. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And he begins enumerating what he's talking about. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, the pastures he's talking about don't look so much like our grass as it does the arid desert. You know that there are two seasons in Israel, wet and dry? And the difference between is that there's a few more green places in the wilderness. And the shepherd had to know where the food was. They had to know where the food was. Because even during the rainy season, the wilderness didn't have a lot of grasses. They would grow in the shade of a rock. They would grow wherever moisture was trapped. And you would have to find it. And there would be a tuft here, and a tuft here, and a tuft here, and a tuft here, and a tuft over there. It would be like trying to find grass in a parking lot. And he would go, and the shepherd would know the land so well that he could lead the flock in safe paths where they would find the food they needed for that day. When Jesus asks us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He's acting like a shepherd. In fact, if you go back to the Exodus and you how God fed people while they were in the wilderness, they could collect enough manna for only one day. If they tried to collect too much, it became spoiled and insect-ridden. You see, the shepherd knows how to feed his flock every day. And over here today, over there to tomorrow, over there the next day. But they worked one day at a time. Green pastures, what we think. Green pastures, what David thinks. Well, two different things. He leads them beside quiet waters. When I think of a quiet water, I got that trickling stream. You know, that little pastoral pond out in the middle. You know, that's not what they're talking about. Israel's wilderness was arid. The ground was hard. And when it rained, they had a problem. Let's say it rained 2 inches. What's the problem? Why? Why would they flood? Nowhere for the water to go. Nowhere for the water to go. And it could rain miles and miles away, and the water traveled. The floods in David's time would occur unexpectedly. It could be a beautiful day like it is right now. Quiet, no wind, and all of a sudden a wall of water is coming down your way at a narrow canyon. Anyone who is in that canyon, which is called a wadi, W-A-I-W-A-D-I, you get washed away. And sometimes an animal would be in that canyon, licking up a little bit of water. He found his way down there, and the next thing you know, here comes a flood. Here comes this wall of water, and it would wash away. And sheep did not always know the difference between good water and bad water. The shepherds knew when it was safe and when it was dangerous. He knew where to find the quiet reflecting pools. He knew where the flock could survive. Most wildernesses in there, the deaths in the wilderness, happen through floods. Violent floods. And shortly after the flood, the wadi's dry again. A wise shepherd knew that walking through a wadi could be dangerous. You had to know where the springs were, beside quiet waters, not raging waters. It was a hostile environment. The Lord knew how to negotiate and navigate the hostile environment. I think God does the same thing now. I think God knows how to protect us. He knows where to lead us. If we listen and follow, He will take us to where we need to be fed, where we can receive the things that we do, and He will do it in a manner that keeps us spiritually, physically, relationally, emotionally safe. He will take care of us. He restores our soul. He gives us our life. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Are any of you avid hikers, trailblazers? I used to hike a lot. I know it doesn't look that way, but it's true. I used to go up with my friend. I went with a friend of mine, and I'm going to say a word that's going to make my wife cringe a little bit. Murray Mullins. We used to go up in the Sierra Nevadas in California, and we would go camping together. Murray is a little less capable in the outdoors than I am. And we would go camping. We would go backpacking with one another, and we decided we wanted to go do something unique. And we were going to go going on trails we have never heard of or seen. And all we had was a topographical map. What, dear?
Oh, my.
Oh, my. We didn't know that when the lines got closer, that meant the terrain became steeper. And we were trying to find a lake. We never did find the lake. We found a lot of other things. We found sudden canyons, untraversable thickets. We found dead ends. We found inhospitable environments. We never did. I even slid down halfway down a mountain on the back of my backpack. We did spend the night out, not where we wanted to, but where we ended up having to. You need somebody who knows the trails. And in David's time, you could be walking a trail and all of a sudden end up at the edge of a canyon. You could end up in the bottom of a wadi. You could end up in bad places. You needed to know somebody who knew the safe trails and the dangerous trails, because the trails crisscrossed. You could get lost. The shepherd knows how to lead you in paths of righteousness. Isn't it amazing how many choices that are open to us? How many choices that you and I have as options? We need somebody who knows which way to go, who can lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, David's territory around Bethlehem was extremely mountainous. Hidden canyons, hundreds of feet deep. You have to be aware of where you are at all times. You're blinded by bright sun, and you could suddenly find yourself at the rim of a dark canyon with its edge obscured. If you were pasturing sheep and they got too close, boom, down they would go. An important aspect of protecting the sheep involved knowing the paths along the canyon edge, knowing how to even go and traverse the darkest of valleys. We have a lot of dangerous places in our lives, a lot of places that seem dark, and somebody has to help us navigate and get their way through. A shepherd does this. When you think about being a shepherd, does it ever seem like the sheep are fairly, what I would refer to as high maintenance? High maintenance. We are high maintenance. We are remarkably high maintenance. We have to be cared for on a repeated basis. Are you ever amazed at the stupidities we can get ourselves in? Are you ever amazed at the things that you see that we somehow find ourselves, and we look at it and we are dumbfounded how we got there? Look at your around, look at your neighbors, look how they behave. Look at the things that we value. Look at the things that we somehow decide we're going to do. We need a shepherd. We need someone to take care of us. We need someone whom which we have such confidence we can say, I will fear no evil. Your rod, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That no matter where I am not afraid. Number one command in the Bible is what? Do not be afraid. Number one command in the Bible, do not be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. God is on our side. Do not be afraid. His care, His comfort, the rod and the staff, they are for discipline and protection. There were a lot of wild animals that would love to sink their teeth in a sheep. There were bandits and thieves that would love to take away the sheep. And the shepherd was there to protect them. You remember David saying, look, I killed lions, I killed bears. God says, I can take care of anything. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Jesus even said this. In this world, you will have trouble. But don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. If you're a Christian, you're going to have difficulties. Do not be afraid. Jesus has overcome the world. In this, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have trials. You're going to have frustrations. Do not be afraid. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the living one, and He holds in His hands the keys of death and of Hades. Good news is our shepherd wins, and He will take us home. I like verse number 5. You prepare a banquet, a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you, by the way, that was a wonderful image of the kingdom of God, a wonderful image of the final reward of God, the wedding banquet, the banquet. They love talking about gathering together with abundant food because it didn't happen often. You prepare a potluck. No, not a potluck, a banquet. You prepare a banquet before me in the presence of my enemies. Everything out there looking to hurt me, in here I am feasting, safe, I have abundance. You anoint my head with oil. Ha ha, that's chosen. That's blessing. God's blessing and His chosenness. He's pouring oil on our heads. We're thinking, that doesn't sound attractive. How many of you want Crisco poured on your head? A little Wesson. But the olive oil being poured on your head was a sign that God chose you and blessed you. It was an anointing. A sign that you are being filled. And my cup overflows. There is so much. Because I know that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have His abundance. I have His peace. The shepherd is taking me home. I'm going to be there. Nothing can harm me. And David's imagination said, every good thing, all the days of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. I have it all because the Lord is my shepherd. I follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I follow Him. Remember what Jesus said? I'm the good shepherd. My sheep know me and I know my sheep. We follow Jesus. We follow Him today. We follow Him tomorrow. We follow Him every day. His voice is what we hear. And we have abundance because He loves us. We have abundance because of His goodness. We have abundance because of His mercy. We're sheep. We're high maintenance. We're not stupid. We just don't lead well. We're defenseless. We tend to do things in herds. And when one gets in trouble, we somehow all find ourselves in trouble. But God protects, nurtures, feeds, cares, does everything for us. Because our God is good. And He loves us. Hebrews chapter 13 says this. May the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with every good thing for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing through Him, through Christ, to whom all glory be given now and forevermore. This morning, the great shepherd of the sheep is here. He is risen, and we are His. Glory to Him, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
the mercies.